the Pat Piper we're talking to?
On WGN, we are talking to a different Pat Piper. He is a producer. Hi, Pat.
How are you?
You have no idea.
Pat,
you probably have no idea. Go ahead.
The other Pat spelled his name wrong.
He did spell it differently than you. Do you know the reference, what I just played?
Of course.
Yeah. You couldn't go to Wrigley Field at a certain point in time and not hear that voice. Around the same point in time that you'd hear the voices of people like Tommy Edwards, who we just spoke to, Connie Sarazen, who we'll be talking to in a few minutes, and our own John Landecker, as well as many others. This is a brilliant idea, if I must say so myself. Looking back at rock radio, some of the greats who so many of us grew up listening to, but I believe your intent was to take people behind the curtain.
Absolutely. I mean, we know these people because of what we heard on the radio. And on a week from now at the Des Plaines Theater, people are going to be able to see them, and they're going to be allowed to say, well, here's what happened behind the scenes. Here's the story about something that happened on the Top 40 radio format I had to deal with. Here's a rock and roll song that has stayed with me until today, and I'm still learning from it. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and how some of these personalities interacted or didn't with one another, and how they may have gone from radio station to radio station. We'll be talking to Connie Sarazen in a little bit, and I believe it was Neil Diamond that she spent a night with, but we'll explain that and what happened.
You better ask Connie that. I wasn't there.
I hope not. However, you...
Me too!
You were there for a whole lot of programs that were hosted by Larry King. You were the producer of his show for many years.
Yes, sir. From 10 years with Larry. And it was a real learning experience. Very quick story. He never wanted to prepare for an interview. And there were numerous times, I think my first day on the job, someone had written a 400-page book. And I said, Larry, here's the book. You might want to read it over the weekend or something. And he goes, why the hell do I want to do that? And I was thinking, I've either made a big mistake or I'm dealing with a genius. It turned out, thank God, to be the latter. He didn't want to prepare. He said, the audience hasn't read the book. Why should I?
Now, in some ways, to me, I'm just being honest with you. That seems like a lazy answer, you know. On the other hand, so if I have a guest in studio, I'll say, okay, we may go here or there, talk about this or that. I don't want the exact answers because I do want some spontaneity, but I do want to be prepared for an interview. But yet, no one did interviews like Larry King.
No, you're absolutely right. His questions were always short. And he always had this phrase he would tell me, I never learn when I'm talking. And so I think there was a genius in that. And as I said on that first day, I'm either dealing with a genius or an idiot. And, it was a genius. He does it differently, and it worked.
Who is the favorite guest of all the people you've had on that show that you remember more than anyone else? Because anyone who's anyone... somehow Larry King was able to get.
You're right. We were in Los Angeles. I was in my hotel room about an hour before I had to get to this house. We were about 3 minutes to air. And Albert Brooks calls me. And he says, hey, I hear Larry's on the radio tonight in Los Angeles. Who's your first hour guest? And I said, it's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He said, can you move him to the second hour, and I can come in and do the first hour?
What?
And I said, Albert, how about the third hour? He showed up during the third hour, by the way.
I mean, he talked to presidents, didn't he, Larry King?
Sure.
Anyone who was a president, you had to be on with Larry King. But I want to talk about, I want to go back, I want to pivot back to this event. It's happening a week from today, Sunday, August 14th at 3 o'clock at the Des Plaines Theater. And to learn more or to get tickets, there are two ways to do that. You can go to museum.tv or you can call us 312 981-7200. Right now, we are going to give away a pair of tickets, just the first caller to get in. But we've got more tickets to give away throughout the show. To tell you the truth, I forgot I had tickets to give away. So I'm going to give...
You forgot!
I know. It's the last time you hire me. So when... How did you get involved in this in the first place with the Museum of Broadcast Communications, with ChevyDriveChicago.com and WGN Radio, all co-sponsoring this event?
In January, my wife and I came to Chicago, which is always the best time to come to Chicago.
Of course, yes.
And we went for a walk down State Street, and I said, my God, there's the Museum of Broadcast Communications. I was there for some Larry King festivities and stuff. Let's go in. And I did. And I toured the place, and I thought, this is really cool. And there's lots of photographs of people that we've all heard on the radio. And I sent an email to the head of the museum a couple days later and said, you know, how about more than a photograph of voice? And he said, how about we bring those voices to Chicago? And it just started rolling from there.
Hmm. And those voices, some of them, it's obvious who you would choose. I mean, these are legendary Chicago radio personalities, but some of them aren't necessarily Chicago radio personalities, correct?
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. Tiana Williams worked in Washington, D.C., doing rock and roll. And she ended up in Philly, and she's still doing rock and roll.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she had been to Chicago numerous times because she's involved with African-American broadcasters and stuff. And I thought, that's a go. You know, yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah. I think the biggest get you've got might be Cousin Brucey.
Cousin Brucey is terrific. And he's 86 years old. And as he says, I don't have a life, because he is still on the air. He was on the air last night for WABC in New York, doing 2 hours of rock and roll.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I've heard him, actually, because he's on one of the networks you could listen to in your car. I don't remember which one, to tell you the truth. But I have heard him. And it is such a throwback in time as he tells these stories. Well, the time I went to dinner with, and he will name whoever it might have been, you know, from back in the day. What is going to be the best part of this, do you think, for all of us that may attend?
I think for the people attending, they are going to see these people talking about what happened behind the scenes. And then stuff that is, you know, I'll tell you, I was talking to Tommy Edwards a couple of days ago, who, by the way, said to me, this was the most creative environment I've ever been in, radio during the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I haven't seen some of these guys for 10, 15 years. So this is a good moment for them to, maybe for the last time, I don't know, but compare notes and laugh and tell stories about each other. And I will tell you one other thing. On the day that I sent that email to the head of the Museum of Broadcast Communications,
David Plyer,
Howard
perhaps.
David Plyer, right. Howard Hessman, the guy on WKRP, had died.
Oh.
And I thought, you know, we can't do this 10 years from now. This would be a good time to do it today, you know?
Yep, I'm a fan of that.
It's gathering.
It's museum.tv to learn more. And Pat Piper, I'm sorry you weren't at Wrigley Field, but it is nice to meet you. Thank you very much, and thank you for doing this. This is wonderful. And we do have more tickets to give away. We have Connie Sarazen coming up, the first person to call in, 312-981-7200, to have any question that makes any kind of sense for Connie. You will get some tickets as well, and the same thing we will do for John Landecker in about 15 minutes. Again, Pat, nice to meet you, and have a great time on Sunday.
Mr. Dale, thank you.